2018, maybe there was a lot of good, maybe there was some bad. Regardless, Psalm 73, you don't need to turn there. I've read this just a couple weeks ago. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Verse 28 says, but for me it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of your works. Throughout the psalmist, one of the themes of the book of Psalms is, God, you are my refuge. So whether you've come in soaring, excited, or whether you've come in with some heartache, some difficulties, I love New Year's. Because regardless, it's a new year. One of the greatest things about grace is that it's grace. It's undeserved, it's unmerited, but God gives it freely. God is not your God. I think sometimes we run our race and we go to the end and we think God's going to look at you and say, I'm ashamed of you. Because we're human and we're probably, I promise you, you probably beat yourself up more than anybody else could ever. You know the worst things about you. You know what goes on in your mind. And you don't know, we just sang a song about the pearly white robes. You see about grace, the beauty of grace, and God forgave us, as God already sees you in pearly white robes, pure. Because you in heaven and you before God had nothing to do with anything you would do anyways. Amen? So 2019, it's a new year. Good or bad, keep it going. Need some changing. Either way. New year. So I did a little bit of off the notes. I love you guys. Go to Luke 17, then I'll go back to the notes. Luke 17, verses 5 through 6. I focused so much on Paul, I forgot, hey, what about Jesus? Let me tell you something that Jesus says. Coming into a new year that might be beneficial for us. Then I'll focus in a lot on what Paul might say to us. And many other passages. Luke 17, just verses 5 through 6. You've heard it before. I just want to throw a twist on it. So if you heard this statement, how would you react to it? People who are truly successful are always ever improving. Would you say yes to that? Consistently improving. I think I would 100% say yes. I think the hardship is how we go about that. How do we go about improvement? So we're going to look a lot at what Paul has to say, but I want to show you something about Jesus, because oftentimes we would look at Jesus and we're thinking about improving and growing, and we're looking for advice, growth, and faith is what we might say. Jesus points us to faith, and that is true, but there's an element that we can get this wrong. Jesus says this, chapter 17, verses 5 through 6. The apostle said to the Lord, how do we increase our faith is the question. You know, we want to increase our faith. We want more faith. Is that a bad thing to ask? Like, God, give us more faith. We want more faith, God. Well, I mean, particularly with a lot of things that are coming their way, if this is a good prayer, it's a good thing to say, God, I want more faith. Would God ever say, no, you don't need more faith? He doesn't really address the question. He says something. And a lot of times, we can look at this because this is what we do. Well, God, I've never prayed and you've moved a tree or moved a mountain. And Jesus says this more than one time. He says, and the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Jesus has more than one time addressed this, and it's funny, in this text, he's addressing a good question, a good prayer, a good thing to be asking and thinking, increase our faith. And it's as if we were not seeing through this, we would take this as, well, I've never prayed and the tree got uprooted and moved, so does that mean I have no faith? It means I need more faith? What if we spend the rest of our life saying, God, I need more faith? Because clearly what you said, I'm not seeing happen in my life. Well, Jesus is referring to the tiny mustard seed after being asked this increased faith question, but he deflects attention away from the quantity of faith that's being asked to the object of faith. What is the object of faith? Who is it? Even if you had faith and prayed and God answered, who did the work? Even if I prayed for that tree to get up and go in that ocean, is it because of me? Did I do anything? I'm still the man that can't fly. I can't know all. I can't see all. I can't do all. I'm wearing blue shoes, people, right? I love these shoes. They're birthday gifts. New shoes. Woohoo. All right, not birthday. Christmas. Sorry. It's not birthday. It's Christmas time, right? My point is saying this. It is God who moves the mulberry tree. Even in our faith, if our faith is correct, what we're focusing on is really, it's not dependent decisively on the quantity of our faith, but rather God's power, his wisdom, his love. Jesus is helping us to not worry about our faith and pushing us to be inspired more to trust in what? God's power. How dare I stand before you in 2019 and point you to yourself? What a bad sermon it would be if I said, if you just had more faith, let's look at Paul. If you just had more self-discipline, if you just had, and that is true. All that is true. But you can do nothing apart from God's power. Amen. Nothing. And we will look at this and we'll look at this verse and people will preach, increase your faith. You're preaching it wrong. The object is not even in your faith and he's deflecting it. Don't focus even on the quantity of faith. Trust more in God's power and you'll see incredible things. Did you read the next passage in that text and that disciple started praying and a tree went into the ocean? That wasn't the point of the teaching. It's not that you walk around thinking I can do incredible things and you're watching these Marvel superheroes and things are flying and I can now do that. No, it wasn't the point. You're still human. You still don't have these God abilities. Because you're still human. The point is, focus less on you and even wanting good things. And I want this. Focus more and more on the power of God. And here's the point. If you want to see, if you truly are off of you and focused on the kingdom of God advancing, it's not going to advance with more of you. It's going to advance with your faith and belief in more of God. Amen. And that's when we see things actually happen. Amen? So I say that to you because I was so tempted to stand in like self-improvement. I want to say everything that I have to say to you today with Paul in mind. But if we get this concept flipped upside down, I just preached to you about, hey, improve yourself. But none of that's going to happen without God's power. Because here's the deal. Even if I was a perfect man, even if I was a, whatever my mentality, whatever your mentality is, what you want to be. Right? If I really was that, then I would really be successful. If I was that godly man, that husband I need to be, that pastor I need to be, that coworker, that whatever your position is, if that would be the goal. If I was that, right? Even if you achieved that, how did you get there? God. Because the person that finally achieves godliness at some point focuses in on I'm only here because of God. So even if you get there, how did you get there? God. I was over to overcome this because of God. There's not one person that's overcome addiction. There's not one person that's overcome hardship that has truly got to the place of real godliness, real healthy place, and said, me, 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 me. That's a narcissist. The person gets there that realizes, man, God got me through that. Because you know what? There were so many pitfalls. My shame, my pride, my believing in I can do this, I'm going to do this on my own, and everyone will tell you need community. You want to better your life, you need community. Because God's word says, when you fall, you need people to say, I'm with you. Amen? So like everything in our minds, like we set ourselves up for not growing because we get so focused in on me, 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 me. So my point of this passage is he deflects the entire thing, and he's like, me. God does say, no, it's me. Jesus, you know, talking to Peter. He's on the ocean and he's walking, right? He has this amazing, like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this. And then he started focusing on him. And what happens? The point of that story is focus on me. If you want to improve in 2019, how do we get our gaze to God? How do we get our faith to, I believe in the power of you. I believe in your word. I believe you can help me overcome and change me and change this. I want to be this. And how can we get from the me, this, that, me, 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 me to God? What if we just stopped and said, God, I just want to be who you want me to be. I want to read your word, and I want to obey it to the best ability. I want to be with brothers and sisters, and I don't have to have the shame of, if they only knew, right? If they only knew what I really think or my struggles. No, the freedom of, I'm already flawed. But anything that happens that's good is because God did it in my life. So much of us not improving is we're focused on us. And so the point of that story is he deflects the whole thing. And he focuses in on God's power. If you want to advance the kingdom of God, if that becomes your aim, which should be your aim, as a Christian, as a God-fearing person who's like, I want to succeed in life, then focus in on what God's goals are. And that is his kingdom advancing. That's what his goal was in life. So what would he point you to? That goal. So if that's our goal, how are we going to accomplish that? God and his power. Not relying on me, not relying on my own will. And if I had more faith, if I prayed more, if I did that, that's the whole point. Increase my faith. That's a great thing to ask. And God says, deflect from you. Focus on God's power. Amen? Because as Paul, God gave him, he gave him problems so that he would learn, when you are weak, you are strong. Now, he was bodily weak. We see issues in Corinthians and other places where they're like, why are we listening to this guy? Because everything we have in our mind of what a strong person would look like, he doesn't match any of that. Just like Moses, he has a list. You know what? Paul had to learn the hard way. Even God gave him more than he could possibly take after all the things that God would put in his path. To do not what God told him to do. Because of his hard-headedness, not listening. Some of his shipwrecks are not godly. He was trying to do not what God told him to do. Amen? Despite that, God still said, there's something in you that I need to give you more infliction because you're not trusting in what? My power. So often we're focused on me, what I can do. And the Bible's saying, point your gaze to God. Give him the glory. Give him the focus. Get on your knees and beg, God, change me. And you might see, listen, you might see a different 2019. Because if you just focus in inwardly, and I'm not saying, again, I'm going to give a sermon of here's some things we can change. And Paul's mindset, we see it in passages. But if we go there and don't say this first, then I really blew the sermon. I blew scripture, what I would tell you. Focus in on God now. Now we can start a sermon. What does Paul say? Verse constant at this time, people read, it's not a bad thing. This is not in your notes, and then I'll be in your notes from here on out, I promise. 1 Timothy 4:8, for while bodily exercise is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And similarly, very similar to that text, 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27, Paul says it this way, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Lots of things in this text. But what I want to say to you more than anything, and his examples of boxing, and his example of a race, and his example of working out, the biggest thing I find in these texts is a mindset. Why are you running the race? I think for many of us, part of us not being who we need to be is why. We haven't really answered the why question. It's me, 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 and what I want. But what if the why was, I really want to run this race well, to win. Well, under whose terms, right? There's rules. If you run a race, if you do boxing, somebody set up rules as to what a real win is. If you're in the MMA and you start hitting someone in the back of the head that, and you win that way, you're going to be disqualified because you won by doing something illegal, right? There's rules, there's parameters, they're set. Well, the race of life, there are parameters. Set by whom? A holy God. My aim and what I want, what I consider success. You are successful if that is what God considers success. That's why it doesn't matter how rich you are, how successful you are, how whatever in life, It doesn't matter. You're not going to be judged before a throne on God based on your money, based on what you succeeded necessarily in. You're going to be judged on what life I gave you, what did you do with it? The life I gave you, right? And there's nothing wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with poverty. All of them can be godly in how you go about the life that God's given you. And you can succeed. You could, in your minds, I haven't been super successful, whatever. And some of us have hardships that, you know, I think of folks like Sean, who was crippled from his neck down from birth. What would that look like for him to be successful in a world's eyes? But what would it look like for him to be successful with his plight in life that God gave him? Amen? Does that make sense what I'm saying? So there's a race we're all running, and it is, the race you're really running is different than anybody else. Nobody can walk in your shoes. Only you can walk in your shoes. But we still have, listen, the same rules. We do. When it comes to godliness, when it comes to standing before a holy God, we have the same playbook. Despite whatever situation you've been in, what you've walked through, what you've come in with, whatever's going on, we still have the same playbook, the same rules. This is what success in life looks like. Amen? A life lived towards this. And that should be freeing. Sometimes it's not, but it should be. Because it's not everyone's opinion of what is your opinion, your opinion, your opinion. That doesn't really matter because we're all going to die. And what Paul is saying, they focus on the running and the race and the boxing. They focus on a perishable wreath, a perishable thing. And he says, don't focus in on that. Focus in, make your aim, make your ambition an imperishable wreath of success that God spells out. This is what success is. That when I stand for you, God, I can stand unashamed. I lived my life focused in on you. Despite the hardships, despite the situations that even in the seasons of your life, from I'm a 32-year-old man, the seasons of my life at 20, the seasons of my life at 10, the season of my life at 50, the season of life at 70, it's going to be different. But in every season, the focus is on, okay, with this new season, this new plight, what does success look like in your eyes, God? What does my race look like this year, God? What does it look like for me to press into you to take this and make something amazingly glorifying? Because that is what the aim is. I just gave away my sermon. Here's the thing you walk away with. You have a different race. We have the same playbook. Only God knows your hardships. And we're going to stand for God with the race we've run. And will we have run our race saying, God, I gave you the best I had. Now here's what I'm saying to you. If you focus in on, well, I haven't done well, 2018, my year's passed, I can't, then you're going to stay the same. What I'm talking about today is grace, 2019, brand new, get refocused, get your mindset right. We can work out all we want, and Paul says, it's good, it's of some value, but godliness is of eternal value. Mindset on the kingdom is of eternal value. You pursue and make God your greatest passion. It's of eternal value. And so in 2019, what is the thing that center our heart on? Well, Paul has a lot to say about this. And he uses analogies like racing and boxing and he discipline. And he says, listen, and he's pointing to, he has a flesh like us. Full of sin, full of failure, all the same complexities that we have. And he says, I have to discipline my body. I have to get myself under control. I have to get my mindset right as a winner in the end. Now, I want to say this above all things. I'm ruining the end of my sermon, so if I repeat myself, whatever. If I had one big thing to say to you, here's the beauty. You're already a winner. You know that? You already won. You already got the white robes. Amen? So do we run our race like shameful, I'm not going to win personality? Or are we going to run our races, I've already won? You see, because the beauty of true worship, is it's a life saying to God, thank you for what you've already done. And my worship is now I can be freed up to be a son of God, a saint. Amen? Now, this is where we get mixed up because our shame, me, we get focused on that. This is the to-do list, and if I did this, Or we beat ourselves up, and God says, you already won. But want, listen, here's the point what Paul's pointing to. But run as a winner. Don't run as defeated. Run as I already won. I've already won. You've already won. If I die tomorrow, I'm a success story. Amen? Don't run as a person with the mentality of, I'm a loser. So if you're going to have change in your life, there's lots of things we can talk through. But I think there's something powerful between the two things I pointed to. Faith being in God's power versus me. Even in a good question like increase my faith. I'm sure God would love that prayer. But is it centered in God's power? And then secondly, our mindsets. Your mindset is where you're going to go in life. And I don't mean this to pump up your pride. This is a humble thing. We're already winners. It's a humble thing to be able to say that, believe that, and now the test is, if I already believe this, will I now live differently? And that becomes on display for all to see your worship. Your life that you live every day, not Sunday morning, not when we're singing, not when we're in this time or around other people. Your life that you're living is worship. And we show our faith. It's on display every single day that we live. And we have so many opportunities for focusing, showing who we really are, whom we really trust, what we really truly loved and cherished most. And we get to live our life on display. And eternal life is at stake. Which I'm not saying you earn your salvation. I'm simply saying the way people live their life, like if you've given your life to God, if you've put your faith in Christ, eternal life matters, believing in Jesus. So I'm not saying you earned your salvation, but salvation is at stake in terms of humanity's life. Amen? It's true. And I'm not saying you earn your salvation. I'm not saying that. Do not, I in bold, say it. But the upward call, really our call, who we are, and rewards such as a crown of righteousness, as well as other reward. We see in a text, and I think it's 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where it talks about at the end, all that matters is God's stuff, and everything's going to go away except for that which we really pursued God in. You know, Jesus tells us to pray. You know, he says, why not pray? Pray in your room and don't pray before people. Why? Because you're rewarding heaven. I don't know what that looks like, and I'm not going to try to act like I can, of all people, tell you what reward in heaven. Here's what it looks like. Not going to do that, because I don't know. But what I do know is there is worth in eternity for living the right way. There's some reward in heaven. It is. Now, many of us, we see texts where it talks about some are just going to get in, and some are going to get in, and there's going to be reward. Because you've spent your life, you've made the aim of your life focused on what God called you to focus on. It's just part of Scripture. We see it. And I don't want to flesh that out with you and totally, because I have a earthly mentality. I've only lived here. And there's a whole eternity that I haven't experienced yet. So I can't really explain it totally. But Paul is pointing us towards something. And he's saying, make something of your life. He is saying that. Make something of your life that your faith, with God's grace, with his power, that your race, that your living becomes this amazing, brightly shining display for all the world to see how you and your testimony and your grace story is an example of how somebody can come from this and become something so brightly worshiping and shining the glory of God. Does that make sense? That's what we have an opportunity in 2019. What would be different about 2019? What's the one biggest thing in my mind that I want to be, you know, see happen in 2019? May I direct your path and your gaze. Be more like God. And only you know what that means. Maybe your spouse and your friends don't even know totally. Maybe they know some, but they don't even totally know what it means. What would it look like for you to brightly shine all the more this year? Your worship, what you're going through, and despite what I'm going through, the conflict inside, the conflict in life, the conflict with, you know, body, whatever it might be, conflict in family, conflict with sin, whatever it might be, what would it take for 2019 for you to shine all the more brightly this year? What would that look like? What would that be? Amen? And you may start centering in on what does God want me to change this year? What does God want to get a hold of so that, listen, this testimony this year, I'm brightly shining more in these areas and these things. Not because of what I've done, because of the overwhelming power of this joy that I want to live out a life that pleases God. And this year, I'm going to really go all in. And these are the things that have to change. And so what Paul reminds us of is you're running a race. And Paul reminds us of run as a winner. And I already ruined the end of my sermon, but you already won. So don't let the already winning keep you from running. Because that, listen, that can happen. I'm already forgiven. What does it matter? Then you're already lost, right? You're going to run the race. You may go to heaven. I'm not the judge. You may be in heaven. I don't know how a person has that mentality, though, and is a Christian, because the beauty of our worship, it's already won. I'm not trying to earn my salvation. I simply get to run in freedom. And that I'm freed up from worrying about the eternal conflict. But I am freed up now to worship freely. And I'm a big believer. The more you come in with God, he's going to change your desires. You may have thought you had joy in your life. Why don't you do it God's way? Change some things in your life his way. And I guarantee, I promise you, you're going to have more joy. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy. Just simply saying there is joy to be found in freedom. And with God, because as a believer, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. We never sin. We never have these issues in our life and feel good about it because the Holy Spirit is there. Amen? So some passages of scripture, lots of scripture. John 15:5 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me remains in me and I in him. He it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. How do you have a fruitful life? I like the word remain. You remain in him, and it produces what? Fruit. Fruit of godliness in your life. You have to be connected with God. Apart from God, apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. So does that sound like what I was saying to you earlier? You can have faith, but if you're having faith in your faith, it ain't gonna amount to any change. But if your faith is in the power of God and you remain in him, you will bear fruit. John 15:8 says this, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So if we remain in him, and when the fruit does bear, and when you bear that fruit, what happens? You glorify the Father, which is what God wants from you in your life. And he says this, and you so prove to be my disciples. So when people look at you, they see something different. They see the fruit of God, joy, happiness, goodness, all these things that are not worldly. They see in you hope in the midst of death, all these things that are we have in Christ. They see that fruit, and what do? They know you're a different cat. You're a disciple. You represent God. You're something that this world knows nothing about. You are so different than the normal things of this world. And he says that brings so much glory to God. Because you know what? I don't know about you. Can I just say this quickly? If you find someone that you see so much fruit of God in their life, I don't think you think this person's amazing. I think oftentimes if you're a Christian, you look at them and you think, I want to be like that. You already know it's God that did it. Think of the person in your life that has the most joy, the most peace, the most just goodness and kindness. And you see it and you're just like, man, doesn't it inspire you to be better? You don't look at that person and you're like, man, they're just so awesome. You're around them and you're like, man, I want to be better. That's good. Fruit is attractive. It is. The fruit of God is attractive. And it points to something greater than you. It's what God's called us to be. Romans 7:18 says this, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry out. Look at that, a confession. Nothing good dwells in me. We can't do it on our own. And then he says, I have the desire. How many of us, we have the desire? It's there. We believe, we want to be who God called us to be. But I don't have the ability to carry it out. This is Paul confessing this. Paul is confessing this, which is why in the earlier text, 1 Corinthians 9, he says, I have to beat my body into discipline. It's a battle. And do not hear me saying that it's just going to happen. No,
It's a battle to be godly. It's a battle to live a life really dying to self. It's an everyday battle. Luke says it this way. You have to carry your cross every day. Meaning every day I have to deny to myself. I have to deny myself. I mean, situation after situation is going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. And it gets easier the more you become godly. Amen? But you see this confession. I have the desire. Well, he's saying desire is not enough. He's like, and I don't even have the ability oftentimes. But through God, he's changed. And we can change. 2 Corinthians 12:8-10. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Wow. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, calamities, for when I am weak, I am strong. You ever thought about boasting in your weakness? Paul has learned to boast in his weakness. He has learned, and he's talking in Corinthians about a place specifically where teachers are coming in and saying, why are you listening to this guy? Look at him. Why would you listen to this guy? Whatever his plight is, whatever Paul's plight that God has given him, purposely given him, after the beatings, after the persecution, this is not a man that walks in, whoa, strong, tall. He's a broken man, broken. He looks broken. He acts probably broken in a lot of things. And the way he is, because he's been beat out of life. I mean, many of us, like, life is hard. Getting older is a challenge. Amen? But here's what he says. I'm not going to point you to my power and my glory. Look at me. In my weakness, God has made me amazing. God, in my weakness, I have learned the real true power in this life. What would God have to do to beat you into submission? To the point of, I will boast in my weakness. You see a person has flaws. Amen, I do. But I have God. You know what he learns in Corinthians? If you really pay attention, 1 Corinthians through 2 Corinthians, where he has this massive challenge of them looking at him and thinking he's, you know, insufficient to be teaching them. And those teachers are trying to point to that. Listen to us. We have the better goods. You know what he learns all the more? I'm not going to win this battle by debating. I'm going to win this battle by faith. All the more you see this underlining theme that he shows them. Look at my love. Look at all these things I've done. But over and over, you see this underlying theme of, you know, I've loved you. Despite you hurting me, despite you rejecting me, despite these people coming in, look at the life that I've lived. He's reminded them, look at who I really am. And what have you seen? A man of God. He points them to that. These people, they're flashy. But what you've seen from me is godly. And he's realized that's his weapon. It's God. Amen? What would it take for us to learn that? So what I say to you, first, adopt Paul's mindset. Look at some of the things he says. Philippians 2:12-16. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And that may sound like he's saying, earn your salvation. That's not what he's saying. I'll get back to that in a second. Verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. He's talking to a church saying, listen, focus in on the things I'm saying. Believe these things. Really work out. Work out being godly. Work out being who Christ has called you to be, because you are a light in the midst of a crooked generation. And he's saying, I don't want to stand before God one day when you come in and me be all that running, all that race, all the effort that I put into you, and you didn't become who you could have been. That's what Paul's saying. It's like a teacher saying to someone that they've poured all this investment in, man, work it out. Really do this. Really believe this. Would a good teacher just say, hey, no? A good teacher reminds them, I've put so much investment in you. I've put so much energy and heartache into this. Man, make it worth it. All that I've gone through, make it worth it by really taking this serious and working out the salvation. Now, it doesn't mean he's earning salvation. He's saying, work out your salvation. Work, grow in your salvation. Grow in your freedom and what Christ has called you to. Be the light that God's called you to actually be. Amen? So I say that to you because that's important, but that is a mentality that Paul is telling them. You need to have this mentality. Not a, I'm good, God already died, I'm saved, and I got my free ticket to heaven. That is the wrong mentality. The right mentality is no, keep working out your faith to become more and more like the light that God's called you to be in the midst of a crooked generation. Don't give up. Amen? Make your teachers proud. Is that a bad thing to say? Make your teacher proud, because this life is worth it. And it makes it worth it to be godly and to disciple and to train. Makes your life pouring out on others to help them to grow. Makes it worth it. Because it becomes a new light. Amen? Goes further. Philippians 3:14. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know you're called? You have an upward call. You can look at other texts in Ephesians where he talks about Christ has called us up. You're not of this world. In fact, Paul would say other places, he said, we're aliens. Our citizenship is not here. You have a calling, and it is of heaven. Amen? So that's something to believe. Why should I look like Christ? Because you are not just somebody. You are a son and a daughter of God. And that should mean something. You're the greatest of creation. You are the apex that God chose to die for when he wouldn't do it for angels. You are the story of this incredible book that I've just talked about. The whole point of this book is your salvation. How God would redeem sinners like us. Because God had a plan that you would be a son and a daughter of God. And Romans 8 says, we don't even know what that means. We don't even know the grandeur of what that means. We see James say, it's like we're seeing dimly, like mist. We don't fully see what we really are. But in heaven, you will. Amen? Do you believe these things? You're called, and it's an upward calling. That's what Paul says. Another thing, persevere with faith and keep fighting until the finish line. Paul says this so many texts. So 1 Timothy 4:7-8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. 2 Timothy 4:6, he says this, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Philippians 2:17. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Paul, in the midst of all his suffering, continues to remind, like he says at times, he's like, even I would rather go to heaven, but I know on your account God's going to keep me here, but I'm so ready to go. He was tired of the suffering of this world. Many of you are tired. You're tired of suffering. You're tired of the hardship. You're tired of what this world brings. The negativity, the fighting, the challenges, right? And some of us, listen, it matters whether you're younger or whether you're older. Regardless, you can get to a place, I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting, right? I feel like my life is poured out completely. I have nothing left to give. I have nothing more. Can I remind you what Paul said? When you are weak, you are strong. Are you weak, brother and sister? Are you poured out? Are you tired? Are you saying, I ain't got nothing more to give? You're not alone. But what would Paul say to you? Fight the good fight until the finish line. What would we say? What shows your faith? Your faith is not in the good. Your faith is shown in the bad and the hard. When you're pouring out all the more faith, Paul showed his faith all the more when he was like, I want to go to heaven. I want to be done. But God's not letting me because he's got more for me to do. Because guess what? Whose call is it? I'm called. I inspired you with that. You're called. Whose call is it? It's God's call. On whose life? Yours. Meaning he has a plan. You have a purpose. And your time's not done until it's done. I can remember being with Peggy in the hospital. That's one of the things she said to me often when I would go visit her in the nursing home. She would consistently say, I want to go home. I've heard this from lots of folks who are at the finish line. They're at the finish line, and I don't want to go home. But I know that God's not done with me. That's the right mentality. So maybe you come in, I got nothing left to give. Well, what if you're alive for a whole nother year? What are you going to do? You're going to mail it in and give up? Are you going to say, God, are you going to change your mentality? I'm not done yet. I'm not done. I'm tired. It's taken a toll on me. God, I feel negative. Maybe some of our, it's to the source of even our attitude. It's negative. What would Paul say to you? Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. It's worth it. We have an entire billions of years in glory to bask in the victory. But you're not at the victory line yet. So what do? You keep running the race, baby. You keep running the race, your testimony. And we will stand in heaven one day among the saints, and you will have an amazing story, your story, and it matters. Amen? What you've overcome through God's power. Amen? Do you believe that? You say, man, yeah, but I've had a lot harder life than you. Okay, all the more. You all the more have reason to give glory. Your hardship shines even brighter than mine because your hardship is maybe even more obvious. Do you mail it in? Or do you say, God, all the more, I'm going to glorify you because I know I have a new body. I know I have a new place. I know I have a mansion in heaven prepared beforehand because John 16 says that. I know that Ephesians 2:7 says, for glory. If you think you've seen God's goodness on this life, he says it's a treasure trove of glory, of goodness, and his kindness to be poured out in heaven. You're not done seeing God's glory. You're not going to go to heaven and everything's going to be you died on the cross for us. That's good. That's awesome. But there's going to be new kindness, new goodness, because that's who God is. And let me tell you something about this life. This life, we're limited. In that life, you think God can't do something? Billions of galaxies live on the planet Earth. One galaxy. One Earth. Billions of galaxies. What might God be able to do in heaven? There is not a God that's poor. Amen? So, yeah, but that doesn't make life necessarily easier, but it's your mentality. Don't give up the good fight. Finish the race. Get others to pray with you, to strengthen you. And listen, it's every day. Good sermon, Ben, 2018, going into that. Every day we take up our cross, and some of that taking on that cross is that physical pain because his body's failing us. That hardship because the relationships in our life are not treating us godly. There's some difficulties financially. That stuff is not going to go away. It's going to be new ones. Even if you get this one right, then another one comes. Talk to someone who's older. They'll tell you. It never stops being things to be anxious about. So what do? Day by day, you pick up your cross and you fight the good fight the best you can. And you look to the finish line. I'm 32. By God's grace, I'll live longer. I've got to have the finish line in view now. Or I'm not going to live a successful life. I've got to have then in view now to be successful. Amen? So I say that to younger people like, oh, you're talking to older people. No, I'm not. I'm talking to me. I'm just preaching to myself and I'm preaching to you too. Amen? Examine yourself honestly so that you can grow. 2 Corinthians 13, 5-6, he says this, examine yourself to see whether you are in faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test. Examine yourself. Be realistic about where you are spiritually. This would be the most worthless sermon in the world if you didn't do some self-examination. And listen, you don't need me, you need the Holy Spirit. And I bet you if you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit's already examined you and told you many times, these are the things that you need to change. So this year, how can we get our mindset? God, I want a different year. Because we got grace, you've already got it. You're already a winner. But now what might God be able to do in changing your life? If you let the Holy Spirit examine and say, this year I'm going to start making steps to make those changes. And some of this is like, oh, you're just talking about sin. No, this could be depression. This could be some things that are, there's things weighing on us that are keeping us in chains. And you say, well, Ben, that's not as simple as just saying, willing it to change. Well, I don't know. I don't know totally the answer, but I can tell you, you can start begging God, I want to change. And maybe the more and more we beg God to change from the chain he has told us, we don't need to live like this or think this way or be this way. Maybe the more we beg, God will change us. Amen? Maybe there's some severe anxiety that, man, I don't want to mess with this anymore. I'm tired of it. I want you to change. I've walked with folks that have literally changed. It took years sometimes. And they would have never changed if they didn't have the mentality of I want to change. It would have never happened. And some, it took a lot longer than others. And there's some horrific things that happen in this world that take a long time to change things. But if your mentality already is not, I want to change, then you're not going to change. But if the mentality is, I want to change, you can change. And I'll let you read this text, never give up on one of Jesus' greatest passion, his church. Plug in further. I've been told I need to say this. Community groups. I keep forgetting to tell you. We have community groups Sunday nights. We're starting, we're about to start a new season of it. We kind of do it in the beginning of school year, and then we're restarting it. Community groups is a great place, just like Sunday school is a great place to be around your brothers and sisters. Know some specific things to pray about. Know some specific people to pray about. Know some specific things about individuals that whenever you come to church, you don't feel like, I don't know anybody. You know, I do this all the time in new members classes. Like, I don't know anybody. Well, I can't make you know people. We're friendly people. If you come to things, you're going to get to know people. I can't make you. I'm not going to make you because I'll feel anxiety about you leaving because I pushed too hard, right? Can't tell you how many people I email. Never email me back. I try. If you fill out something and you put an email, I'm going to email you. And you're probably not going to email me back and think that pastor's weird because he emailed me. No, I'm just trying to tell you, we want you to plug in. We want you to be a part of this body. It would be awesome to get to know you better. That's it. That's all I want, all right? That's all I want. If this isn't where God's called you to be, I want you to go where God's called you to be. Be where God's called you to be. That's what I want. That's all I want. Amen? Get plugged in. Love the church. It's the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. He died for us. Love the church. This is what God died for, right? Who are we to not love God's people? And you can't pick who's part of that bride. God picks. God is the one that brings in his church. And we are to love the church with all its warts and wrinkles and, right? It's a family. I don't know your family. I know my family. Warts and wrinkles, right? It comes with it. But we're to love the bride of Christ because Christ loved the bride of Christ. I mean, loved enough to die for us. Christ has saved us from dead works to serve the living and true God. Run your race well. I'll let you read that text and I'll finish with this. Why? Because life is serious and we already have security. Philippians 3:12, he says it this way. Not that I have already obtained it, the resurrection, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made it his own. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Take hold. Fight. I mean, how many times does he use the same analogies over and over and over? You know, folks, here's the thing. If you want to have a great year, a new year, what are you pursuing? I was making a joke with Roger and Robert earlier, you know. We could be focused in on, we got to lose weight, right? Sit in front of a treadmill. Yeah, well, I need to lose some weight, and I'm going to be doing some of that. But let me tell you, the thing that I know my family needs, this church needs, people in my life need more than me standing in front of a treadmill more often, is I need to be more who God's called me to be. And listen, that's all about a mindset. It's all about saying, I want to change and saying, God, I want to be who you called me to be. And it's all about saying, I need to see the end now. A lot of times, we don't focus that way. That's why many of us, we haven't saved, we don't think through the future. But I'm telling you, Paul says, you got to think through the future. Or you know what happens? Something is coming your way and it's going to knock you off and you're going to be ineffective in your faith. You're not going to be able to go through the hardship that's coming your way. The only way to manage the life that we live and the craziness of our life and the sinfulness of our life and the hardships of our life is through faith and believing in God and persevering and knowing there's a finish line. There is a finish, but it's not today. You're here with me. It's not today. So don't give up. But don't come into 2019 already geared up saying, God, this year is going to be the best year ever. Amen? If you don't come in that way, you're going to come in with, well, you're going to have the exact same year, same situation. Change your mindset. Change your view. Say, I want something greater than this year. Many of you are like, I don't even know enough of the Bible. I just gave you so much scripture. Read some of what I just gave you. Read some of these things and start looking at what is the emphasis of Paul, who lived an awesome life for Christ, a faithful life. Pick up, get into a Bible study, get into a group of folk at this church where you're really growing and you're really getting into God's word. Maybe for some of you, that's a big, huge first step. Learn more of God's word, because this is what we are here to do. Study this and you will have a different life. Believe this. Implement this in your life. Implement God's word in your life. Not just, I don't want to go to hell. There's a lot of people that think they're saved and are going to go to hell because they never actually gave their life to God. They just didn't want to go to hell. It's about Jesus. Love Jesus. Love his teaching. Say, God, change me. Have that mentality. I know y'all ain't got no more time. We'll come up. The band's going to come up. I challenge you. I don't know what this sermon means for you, but I know this. If your mentality is not right for 2018, you're not going to have any changes in your life. So get your mindset right. With that said, we're going to have a time of prayer. I will be down forward. We'll sing our final song. If you want to talk, or if you would like to talk to somebody else, this doesn't necessarily mean you're coming forward with, Ben, I've got huge issues. Maybe you just want someone to put hands on you and pray. That's what this time is for. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for every person that's come in this room. You know what's going on in their lives, as you know what's going on in my life. Father, I pray that as we go into this time of worship, as we go into this new year, that not one of us would walk out of this room feeling defeated, but every one of us would walk out of this room knowing we're already victorious, but not get complacent because of that truth that we believe. Knowing we're victorious, but God, there's so much more out of this life. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And God, I want some life. But Lord, I need some truth. And I need to follow your way. Maybe some folks in this room need to follow your way, God. I need to learn your truth so that we can enjoy the life that you've given us. Thank you, Lord. I love your word. Thank you for this time to worship. So we pray. Amen.